Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call the first meeting of the Property and Local Sales Tax Division to order, and I would like to welcome everyone here, all members and staff and the audience. And I think everyone would probably unanimously agree that this is a better time than 8 o'clock on Friday morning, where we had been the last couple years. So I think that's a great change. I just want to say it's an honor to again have the opportunity to chair this committee, and I also want to thank members for your willingness to serve on this committee, because this division, as most, has a very profound impact on residents around this state, and especially when we get into a time of huge budget deficits. It's even going to sharpen our approach and what we end up accomplishing here in this committee this year. So what we're going to do is, here's the agenda for the day, is we're going to start out with introductions in just a second or two. Then we've got Catherine Schill from House Fiscal Analysis will go over in about 15 minutes basically where the money goes, because it's going to be budget this year. And we're going to talk a little bit then about some of the rules of the committee, and then we're going to get into the meat of today's meeting, which is an open debate, talking about our goals and what we would like to accomplish this year. And it's something a little different. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Before I proceed, I'd like to thank Speaker Kelleher for her commitment to the property tax area. That's been one of her top priorities, and I appreciate that commitment. And also to Tax Chair Ann Lenkefsky, who was very evident in the last biennium how she has really provided a lot of independence and foresight for this committee, and it really has allowed this committee to operate in a very independent way. And I thought the way things worked the last biennium with the tax committee, and almost all of us except for two members are on that committee, was just great. And that was to the attribute of our tax chair, who just has really helped make this division make a contribution. So I thank you for that very much, and look forward as we move forward to working with the tax committee as part of the tax committee. So with that, what I'd like to do when you introduce yourselves, and we'll start out with members and then go to staff and so forth, just talk about what area you represent, a little bit just quickly of your background, especially if you have any local government background or what that might be. So I will start. I'm Paul Marquardt. This is my fifth term. Represent District 9B, which entails all the counties, or entire counties of Wilkin and Traverse and parts of Clay and Becker. And as far as local government experience, was the mayor for 11 years and council member in Dilworth. And during my 11 years as mayor in Dilworth, our sister city, Moorhead, Representative Ronning was the mayor there. So this isn't the first time, and he now is the lead of the Republican Party here. We've actually worked together for many years prior to coming to the legislature. So if we'll work down to our vice chair, and we'll just work around the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Denise Dietrich, and it's going to be everything I can do to not say good morning. We're so used to that Friday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. Good afternoon, everybody. I represent House District 47A, which is all of Champlin and a portion of Coon Rapids. My experience in local government is I served on the Anoka-Hennepin School Board for 7 years, more so when my children were growing up. And I just want to thank Mr. Chairman for the opportunity to be the vice chair. I think once again today I will learn how much I don't know about property taxes, but I can't think of a better person to be working with as representative of the court and helping me learn. Thank you.
Representative Garofalo.
Good afternoon. My name is Pat Garofalo. I represent Lakeville, portions of Lakeville, Farmington, and rural Dakota and Goodhue counties. This is my first year on the Property Tax Committee, and I'm very excited to be here. I have a personal interest in tax policy, and really the thing I'm looking forward to most in this committee is to just listen and learn from a lot of people in this committee who are smarter and more experienced than me. In terms of local government experience, I have none. I came from the private sector to this job, so but I'm really looking forward to serving on this committee. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And one of our new members and a freshman, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Peggy Scott. I'm from Andover. That's 49A. So I represent Andover and Ham Lake. And I'm excited to be on this committee. It's a crucial one to our state. And I, like Pat, looking forward just to listening and learning a lot. And my experience with state or local government is I was on the Park and Rec Commission for several terms, so.
Thank you, and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Maury Lanning from Moorhead, District 9A. Represent the city of Moorhead in northern Clay County. I'm starting my fourth term. Been on the Tax Committee all the time I've been here. The first term, we didn't really have a property tax division, but for the second term and last two terms, we did have this division. And I am a longtime neighbor of our chair, Representative Markwart, and he was a very good neighbor and a good chair, so we appreciate his leadership. I spent 28 years in local government, 22 as mayor of Moorhead, and a total of 28 on the city council. So I know how local government officials tend to think about what the state does or doesn't do. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lanning. Madam Chair, Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nice to see everybody. And thank you for your kind comments, Chairman Markwart. You know, everybody in this room who knows Representative Markwart knows that the compliments should go to him. He is an utterly competent chair who can be trusted by all on both parties to be fair and transparent. And it's really been a pleasure to watch him chair this committee and work in this committee. And now that it's going to be tougher this year, we'll need Chairman Markwart even more. I'm Ann Lincheski. I represent Bloomington. I was a two-term city council member before I came to the legislature. So I have that council member bias, admittedly. And I'm really excited about Representative Scott and Detmer to be new members to the tax area because it's always fun to watch new members and how they begin to think about the world of taxes. I think all of us who've sat on it for a while still know we know very, very little. And the longer we're here, the less we know. So I think it'll be a great year, and I, of course, want to thank all the tax partisan and nonpartisan staff in both parties who are here. They really make us look good all year, so it's great to be here.
Thank you very much. And another new member to the committee, Representative Detmer.
Yes, Representative Detmer, I represent the Forest Lake area in northern Washington County and the eastern Anoka County. And I decided to sit next to Chairman here because I can learn something from looking over his shoulder, maybe, but I guess we all have something in common. We all pay property taxes, but I'm here to learn and to represent my constituents. No local government experience, but I've been an educator for 34 years, retired 2007, and also I'm currently still serving in the military, Army Reserve. So.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. You know, if you remember the last couple of years, we talked a little bit about wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And Representative Lincheski had a son that graduated last year that placed in the state wrestling meet, and so now he's got another wrestling-related person here on the committee, so that's good. We will go with Representative Tilbury.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's a pleasure to work with you and everyone here in the property tax. As far as experience, I think I had a little bit of experience on Fridley School Board, and also just thinking about the different finances that happen in school finance as far as experience. But where I represent is Fridley, Moundsview, Spring Lake Park, and a portion of Blaine under 51B is that one. But I usually, the knowledge that I've received on the tax committee is I sit close to the people that really have the knowledge. And I'm hoping that if my folder rubs against theirs, I might know a little bit more. But that's really what being able to work on the tax committee has shown me, how much I don't know.
Thank you. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm very thankful for the chance to be here at this table again. I enjoyed participating in the division last year, although I don't miss 8 o'clock on Fridays. And I know I was late many times. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. but as far as experience, This is my first elected office, but I have in my past career worked on local government finance. I started out as a state budget analyst working on the K-12 funding and school formulas, and had a lot of seven-year itch, so I helped pass Minneapolis a charter amendment that strengthened their budget process, and through that I got recruited in to be the chief revenue analyst for the city of Minneapolis' new budget office, and that led to my being the tax person for the League of Minnesota Cities. And the last part of my career, now I've been working for Hennepin County. When we're not in session, that's what I do, is I work for Hennepin County as a policy analyst and planner. So I've worked on the edges, and it's nice to be at the table.
Thank you very much. Representative Coonan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm Lyle Coonan. I represent District 20B, which is Chippewa County, Renville County, and Eastern Yellow Medicine County in west central Minnesota. Most of my life I dairy farm, so that's the background I come from. I have not personally had involvement with local units of government. I have a brother who was a mayor, was a township officer, and a father who was a county commissioner, so things we do here that affect local units of government I definitely hear about. But anyway, it's good to be here, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you very much. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Joe Mullery. I represent the north half of North Minneapolis, and I had a lot of experience with local government on behalf of clients, but never on the side of the government.
Very good.
Always had to point out where the ruling body or their staff were incorrect in something.
All right. Well, thank you very much, members. If you will notice, in your packets, you have a sheet here with all of our smiley faces on it. And then on the back is a list of all the various staff members and about all the contact people you would need to know there. So this is a sheet of paper to save. At this time, I'd like to have the staff introduce themselves. We're very fortunate to have the same committee administrator and the same committee legislative assistant back this year. And we were all rookies last year, and now after we've been experienced another term, that will work out. So I'll have Sarah, you would introduce yourself. So.
I'm Sarah Carlson Walrath, and I'm the committee administrator for both the Property Tax Committee and the Tax Committee.
I'm Paul Cummings, and I am the Paul's legislative assistant as well as the legislative assistant for this committee.
And several members talked about you think you know something here, but you really don't. And we have, and I know Carolyn Chesky has mentioned this time and time again, probably the best staff in the nation. And what always amazes me is when a question will come up, and any of us as members, if a question would come up, we'd have to be prepared for that. And questions come up left and right and whatever, and we call on our staff, and they will give you rhyme and detail and history, and it's just amazing. So we have just a tremendous staff. And I think the whole team is back again this year, which will be very, very good in this time of need. So we'll just start with you, Ms. Baker, and go around we'll do house research.
My name is Karen Baker, and I staff house research.
And if you could say kind of what areas you work in, I know, briefly, I mean, there's two or three main ones, maybe.
Well, obviously in the property tax area, and more in the administration, not as much in the aids and credits, which Pat and Steve do. I also do a lot of work in mortgage and deed, mineral taxation, sustainable forest, property tax refund. Is that?
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
I'm Steve Hines, and I also am in house research and work in property taxes, and primarily I work in more of the data analysis, property tax simulations, and then also county aids. And we have a lot of overlap, as you'll hear, and so generally don't worry too much about getting to the right one of us, and we'll steer you to the right person. Or work on them together anyway.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Felton.
I'm Pat Dalton with House Research, and the areas I cover that relate to this division are local government aids, levy limits, and local sales taxes.
Ms. Dalton, how many local government aid runs or simulations are you doing an average biennium?
Mr. Chair, I try not to count them.
All right, Ms. Manzi.
Hi, Nina Manzi, also in House Research with Pittsburgh. I work mostly with the property tax refund.
Thank you. And Mr. Michael?
I'm Joel Michael in House Research and work on tax increment financing and public finance bill, which I guess actually is tax increment, so some of it goes through here. But otherwise, corporate business taxes, generally.
Thank you very much. Let's move to fiscal analyst, and we have Ms. Templin.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Templin, and I'm with the nonpartisan House Fiscal Analyst Office, and I mainly cover state revenues, sales tax, income tax, but provide backup for the state as well.
Thank you very much. Ms. Schill.
Hi, my name is Kathy Schill, and I do the aid and credit portion of the spreadsheet, which is all the spending in this committee, and you're about to become experts on it.
Thank you very much. Then we have DFL and Republican research staff. Ms. Sim. Thank you very much. Ms. Sales?
I'm Laura Sales, and I cover the property tax team for DFL Research.
Mr. Stone?
Craig Stone, Republican.
Also, research, if you want, you can sit up at the table. So you're certainly welcome to do that if you want. And we've got plenty of room here in a smaller committee, so if DFL and Republican staff want to do that, they can. Then, the pages. We've got two pages. Megan, do you want to introduce yourself and just say where you're from?
Sure. My name is Megan Haugen. I'm Stephen Cooney,
also
from
Wilmington,
Minnesota.
Oh, knowledge. Was there any payment for that appointment? Or any little other? All right, thank you very much. Megan, what did you do last year? That's very exciting.
I'm
such
a lover.
Thank you very much. And James, if you would.
My name is James Mackey. I'm from Minneapolis, and I will also be a tax attorney.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's great. At this time also, are there some folks from the Department of Revenue that, because we work very closely with the Department of Revenue, anyone you would care to introduce yourself?
I'm Linda Boger. I'm the liaison for revenue.
Anyone? Okay, very good. Very good.
I'm Eric Willett, the Director of Property Tax Research in the Department.
Thank you. Well, as you can see, I think we have an outstanding team, and if we team that up with residents of this state and everyone else in the room, we're going to produce a pretty good product that's going to get us through this budget deficit and also maintain a high quality of life. So thank you very much, and look forward to working with everyone as the year goes on. I think we're ready to go. Move on to the next portion, and I'm going to ask Michelle to provide. And basically, what we're doing here is we're not looking for any debate or discussion on any of this, but you have a catalog of the tax aid and credits, and you have the amounts. And you know, what we're talking about this year is going to be budget, budget, budget. And so, it's an idea just to get an idea of where the money goes. I mean, where's the big clumps of money and so forth? So with that, Ms. Schill, if you would proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Schill. I'm a fiscal analyst with the House Fiscal Analysis Department. And we'll be using three documents today. First of all, you have the talking points for the overview of the taxes and credits, which follow from my testimony. Secondly, you'll have a two-page document that is an abbreviated spreadsheet, and I can guarantee you this is the shortest and most concise version of the spreadsheet that you will see this entire biennium. And then thirdly, you have the catalog of budget activities, aids, and credits, and it looks like this. Or maybe I should say it looks like this for those members of the audience. So to begin, the purpose of today's overview is to become familiar with the tax agent's credit spending. Today I will talk about fiscal years 10 and 11, and specifically the budget as it relates to the state's overall general fund budget, spreadsheet presentation for the House Property Tax and Local Sales Tax Division, and resource references using the catalog of budget activities. And once again, today's focus will be fiscal years 10 and 11. As a quick review, we're facing a $4.85 billion budget deficit for the fiscal 2010-11 biennium, which represents about 13.2% of projected general fund spending. And you probably have seen November forecast documentation that looks somewhat like this. The deficit is mostly a problem of lackluster revenue from all major tax sources. Please remember that these numbers will be updated for the presentation of the governor's budget and the February forecast due at the end of January, beginning of February. So how will the deficit impact the work of the House Tax Committee and the Property Tax and Local Sales Tax Division? Basically, the Tax Committee will concentrate on revenues and the Property Tax Division will concentrate on the spending side of the budget. Most spending on tax and tax aids and credits seeks to mitigate the impact of property taxes. Tax aids and credit spending for the biennium is projected to be $3.4 billion, or about 9.4% of the general fund budget. So how does that compare to other finance committees, other divisions? It looks like this. We are the third spendy division, outflanked only by education with 38% of the budget and human services with 29% of general fund spending. We are on par with higher education and workforce development. And I have to say, not always do we look at all of these numbers in total. If you were part of the committee last year, we did changes to budgets and we focused on targets. This is reference to the buff color spreadsheet that I mentioned 2 years ago, and we'll be reverting back to that, and that's where this $3.4 billion in spending comes from. 31 budget activities are on the tax aid and credit spreadsheet. These programs are administered in whole or in part by the Department of Revenue. As you should know, general fund categories of spending include tax refunds, local aids, property tax credits, pension aids, and other appropriations. So you can turn to the spreadsheet, which is probably a single page front and back, and you can see the different listing of those 31 items and the category titles for them. Property tax refunds are direct payments, and I would like to distinguish between each of these categories of expenditure. Property tax refunds are direct payments from the state to certain homeowners and renters to offset their property tax liabilities. Property tax aids are state payments to local taxing jurisdictions intended to replace property tax levy income. Property tax credits reduce the property tax liabilities for individual taxpayers. Local taxing jurisdictions receive payment for these credits. In all cases, whether using a tax refund, a tax aid, or a tax credit, the effect is that the property taxpayers pay less than what the taxes would be otherwise, and the state makes up the difference. And then we have one other general category, very small. It's other expenditures, and that's for direct appropriations for tax-related kinds of purposes.
And members, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having a property tax overview where all of these programs will be talked about in more detail. Today is just giving you an idea, just to put it out there where the money's going. So there will be a lot more details on this later. So thank you.
And it's helpful to have an idea of spending by category. So this is what it looks like. $3.42 billion in spending, approximately a little bit more than half goes to property tax aid, 16.7% goes to property tax credits, about 28.5% goes to property tax refunds, and 4% goes for other kinds of things. Now you can take a look at the chart more closely. Aids include LGA, county program aid, and pension aids. Major property tax credits include residential and market, agricultural market value credits. And PTR includes homeowner, renters, and the targeting PTR. Okay, this is a listing of each of the budget activities overseen by this division. It, along with other portions of this presentation, is available in the catalog of budget activities located on page 9. But basically, this is your listing of accounts. If you turn to the catalog of budget activities, the purpose is to serve as a quick reference for any specific activity you'd like to have more information on, including expenditures, and a little bit about the item, where you can find it in the statutes, and what fund it actually is associated with. I think every item but one is associated with the general fund. We have one that's with the special revenue fund. And the catalog this year reflects 8 years of spending activity and the percentage change going from year to year.
Members, just so we're all clear, that's this document right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all there. Very good.
And this is what a single entry looks like. I gave the example of the homeowner property tax refund. You can tell, obviously, the title and legal citation is right at the top. Then you have an 8-year fiscal summary that I mentioned before, spanning fiscal years 06 through the planning year 2013. The annual percentage change in spending, the appropriation type, and I really haven't gone over that, and there's an explanation of different kinds of appropriation types in the budget in your catalog that could be found on page 5. And then you have a brief description of what the activity actually is. And hopefully, and you've got one of these entries for each item on the spreadsheet, so you can at least get some basic information. Now, the catalog itself is not meant to cover every particular facet of a spending item, and for additional information, you can certainly call my office, call Cynthia, to find out additional information. So that's basically where we are with the spreadsheet. Now we can take a look more closely at specific items if you would like further discussion, or if you have questions. Once again, it's the small spreadsheet, and just a reference, this is what the big spreadsheet looks like, and we're not going to go there today.
Thank you very much, and this is kind of what I was looking for exactly. It was just kind of a quick overview, because we're going to be covering things in a lot more detail. One thing, especially for some of the newer members, the state, of course, works off a fiscal year calendar, where our local units of government, cities and counties, work off a calendar year. And so anything that happens in this budget, which will start July 1st of 2009, which is the fiscal year 10 budget, actually would be, let's say local government aid, is applying to cities' 2009 budget, which the levy was set back in December of 2008. And so always reverse the year, because the payments for local government aid and all the major aids come in July and December, which of course is the next fiscal year, but the same fiscal year or calendar year for city. So you kind of see how that creates some problems in how that all works, because the budgets have all been set and the levies have all been set. And just one other clarification on things that we do here in this committee, as far as, you know, talking about revenue, everything we do here must be approved by the entire full tax committee. So we're kind of advisory for the most part. We're a division of taxes. So we will put out a report as we have the last couple years, but of course that has to go on to the tax committee and ultimately be approved. So just any questions for Ms. Schill? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. At this time, then, we are going to go over some rules. There are not a lot of them. I take my cues from Carolyn Teske on that a little bit. But, you know, the most important thing we do as a committee is to hear testimony, not only from audience members, but we also hear discussion and testimony from staff members and from staff and also from members. And so what I would ask is that you not bring, other than our staff here, laptops to work on. Please turn off any cell phones, and that goes for everyone here. I know some of that stuff will mess up the audio. And also, no newspapers, that type of thing. Just general respect rules for people that we're hearing testimony from. Also, I really encourage all members to work with staff. If you, you know, have an idea, bring it to staff. They can provide you all sorts of information and help you with what you're trying to accomplish. Also, we don't have to worry about this for quite some time, but when we get to the point where you've got the division report and there's amendments in that, we're going to run the same rules as we did before. There's no 24-hour rule. Amendments can come in the day of. Yes, all I ask is basically that staff would have time to put something together. And also, as we get later in the session and we do the division report, if you had a bill that was up that wasn't included, you don't have to rewrite the amendment. You can just take the bill and scratch off and put the amendment. So, we want to make things as efficient as we possibly can here. So that's about the gamut on the rules. As far as Paul, or Mr. Cummings has some rules here that I have to give you if I can find them. So I didn't have many, but Mr. Cummings, he has all sorts. This mainly has to do with the folders. So all committee folders must stay in the committee room at all times. And this is to save time so we don't have to track people down. These clear green folders, I presume you mean these right here, they should be left on the table or in your folder. Don't take them away with you. They'll be reused. In your committee folder, there are two main vanilla folders. One has today's handouts. They'll just say today's handouts on it. And that's for all the handouts that you would need for the current day's meeting or hearing. And at the end of the hearing, if you do not clean that one out, all the contents will be removed and recycled. The other one is the save folder. And this one is if you want to save something, put it in that, and then that will stay in there. Feel free to put any material you want recycled on the committee table after the hearing. And, oh, one important thing is Mr. Cummings will be taking roll for all the meetings. And if you are not here, you are excused. I think that's the same way we've worked it in tax committee, Madam Chair. I mean, there's a reason why you're not here. And so you're automatically excused. It won't put absent. You will be excused. All we ask is that if you can, provide Mr. Cummings or myself with a phone call so we know if we're going to have problems with a quorum or something like that. But that's just so we can do that. Any other thing I need? Any questions on how that's going to work? If you provide handouts or come with handouts, the magic number of copies is 60. 60. Who will get those? 60?
Yeah.
30?
30 folders.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay. 60 of them. All right. Do we have former Senator Larson in the who served so valiantly on the conference committee of taxes and retired while we were all gone. So congratulations on all of that, and great to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Yes, Representative Winchester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Former Senator Larson's son is a wrestler.
Oh. And you, Senator Larson, you're an honorary member of this committee, then, if you're related. All right. Very good. Well, today, members, we are going to try something a little different. Now, usually we only hear ideas when they're brought before the committee in the form of a bill. And we tend to analyze, we tend to criticize, we tend to finally sanitize that bill before we move it on. There's a lot of debate. So what I'm hoping for today is that we can have some free and open discussion and debate that will kind of set the framework. And, you know, in the past, I've met one-on-one with members, and I still plan to do that. But I think it's important, especially, that we just kind of put everything out there. And what's important is that we have a huge budget deficit. It's enormous. And what's going to be important to realize is that this is not the governor's budget deficit. It's not the DFL's budget deficit. It's not the Republicans' budget deficit. It's not the division's. It's the state of Minnesota's budget deficit. And by virtue of an election certificate that we all hold, we not only have the duty but the obligation to be active and big players in helping to solve this budget deficit. And that's going to be a real theme throughout this division, is encompassing everyone's idea as a team, where everyone's voice is going to be heard, and it's going to be very important that we have that input. And the challenge is going to be for this division to think differently and to forge new ideas and solutions that not only will balance the budget, but also provide a better government and more value to our taxpayers. And that's going to be a daunting challenge, but that's the idea. As we look at balancing the budget, how at the same time do we increase value, and how do we make better governance? And I think with this huge budget deficit, we have a license to do reform. And I think it's a great, great chance to do that. So I would invite all members here to put down their political shields, tough to do, and just speak frank and open about what your ideas and goals and dreams are for this committee and some of the ideas. And I know some of the questions that we have on the one sheet that's been included in your packets are kind of general, but what I'm hoping for is that this is one of the first committees to meet this year. I'm hoping we can set an example of putting politics aside and just having this free and open debate on where do we want to go? Where do we think everyone's on this committee for a reason? Everyone's on this committee, hopefully, because they have an interest in this area. It's a very important area that impacts a lot of people. In fact, the entire state and every corner of the state. What do we really want to accomplish? So with that, there's four questions, and we have this one sheet of paper right here. And what we'll do is go around the table, and we'll start with someone different every time. The staff is going to be writing things down, but we're not going to be, there's going to be no minutes that's going to say who said what or whatever. You do not have to defend anything you say. We're not going to debate pros or cons of anything you say. If we need clarification on something, we'll do that. I've got some maybe follow-up questions as we get into some things to kind of stir debate. And, you know, as the chair, I'm somewhat reluctant to sit in. You know, here I am. Now I'm not going to give out all my goals and stuff, because then all everyone will look and think. So I'm going to give you the goal. Here's my goal. My goal is that whatever we put together, the plan to meet the expectations of its members of this division. So that's very non-committal. But quite seriously, we are going to need every idea and solution possible. And my goal here is going to be that whatever report we put out represents the viewpoints and the ideas of this division. And we're going to try and do that during this year. So with that, the first question we have is that in light of a huge budget deficit, what do you want the property and local sales tax division to accomplish in 2009? Basically, what are your goals? And they can be specific if you want. It could be specific legislation, or it can be goals in general terms. And so, I'm not going to start with a first termer. So I'm going to start with our vice chair and put the pressure on her.
Oh.
And we'll just go around, and if you come up with something, you can come up with some ahead of time. Go ahead, Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as goals for this division goes, obviously we were property tax relief. I don't know if that is still our official title or not. And in the past biennium, we worked really hard at that. And that would it's unfortunate that that is probably not going to be able to be the direction that we're going this year. And we've tried that, been there, done it, and it didn't work. So unfortunately, given the big, the huge deficit, that is going to be the first and foremost priority for, I'm sure, for all of us, as you indicated. But a few more specifics that I would see is, first of all, I think most of us would agree we need to address Green Acres. I think that had some unintended consequences in some people, rural, suburban, urban, probably not urban, but are pretty unhappy with some of the consequences of that. The other thing, I think that no matter what we do here, I think we have to continue to try to build and secure the relationships that we have with local government. Local government in the past month here really got dinged because of the short-term deficit. And so when we look to the future and we look to the larger deficit, I think that we have to be real sensitive to our counties and our cities and try to work with them very closely and even depend on them to bring some solutions forward. And some of that will come out in later discussion. The other thing that I think that is really important that this division do is I think we need to have a conversation, a public conversation with homeowners. I think they're very confused about their property values going down and property taxes on the rise. And I think we're going to have to look at some solutions for that. I don't think that that is unsurmountable given the deficit. It might mean a little bit more flexibility. It might mean maybe eliminating some of the credits and stuff that we've had in the past to provide a little bit more flexibility and look at all the homeowners, because every homeowner in the state is experiencing that practically. And so we might have to just start at the bottom and say, how do we address this as a state, and then what are the things that we can't do if we do address that? The other thing in regards to being sensitive to the local units of government is when we came up with our global solution to the budget last year, you know, there were a couple of things that were all hinging on each other. And one was that we were going to restore the relationship with local units of government, and we were going to restore LDA to the best that we could and those types of things. And along with then putting the 3.9% cap on local property taxes. Well, that agreement now, in my opinion, has broken down. And so I think that we're going to have to revisit that cap and say, and work with the cities, and if that's what they want, and say to them, you know, how can we now help you provide the services at the local level? And we might have to address that as well.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go in order of seniority around here. So I'm going to go Representative Lanning next, and we'll get some of the newer members later, but if you wouldn't mind to go next, Representative Lanning.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this is a valuable exercise for us to go through as we start to work on this huge challenge we have before us. obviously, providing property tax relief without any new money is, we're not going to be able to provide any more relief generally across the board because of the budget situation. Instead, it seems to me what we have to look at is how we're spending the resources now, and are we spending them, are we providing the relief in the right areas? Seems to me we have to look at and try to establish priorities on all of the areas that we're spending now. And if we get squeezed, as we all expect we will, on this overall $3.5 billion budget, we're going to have to establish some priorities as to what are the highest priorities on this list of of all of the portions of that $3.5 billion. And that's going to take some real hard work on the part of all of us, and we're going to have to be sensitive to and hear all of the arguments for all of the components of this, and decide if it is currently at a priority level where it ought to be, or it should be higher, or it should be lower. And that's not going to be easy, obviously. It seems to me this this whole budget, even though we don't call it equalization, it really is all about equalization in every area, trying to make sure that we factor in the capacity of local units of government to be able to raise the revenue they need to provide a certain basic level of services regardless of their tax base. And one of the things we really need to become more familiar with, I think, as a committee, is the great disparity there is out there in Minnesota with property tax bases. We've got some communities that have very modest property tax base that's maybe 10, 15, 20% of what the state average would be per capita property tax wealth. And, you know, that makes a huge difference, it seems to me, as we look at all of the things we do to provide property tax relief. So I assume that the whole issue of levy limits will need to come back. I've never been a fan of levy limits, and it seems to me levy limits make the least amount of sense when you don't have, when you're actually cutting aid as opposed to increasing it. When we increase aid to local units of government, it's harder to argue against imposing levy limits. But when the reverse is true, it's very hard to defend a levy limit, and that whole issue is going to have to come back before us, it seems to me, as well. So those are a few preliminary thoughts.
Thank you very much. Chairman Chesky.
Well, I think the fact that I agree with what Representative Dietrich said and Representative Lanning highlights that these issues are not partisan. I just agree with everything both of you said. I think this is going to be a fairly brutal year, and I just think that, you know, no matter how the revenue situation plays out to the legislature and with the governor, the majority of the problem will be solved with cuts. And so this area, of course, will be cutting a lot, this committee. And I know when Chairman Marquardt gets his target, he's going to have a huge task. And then the whole committee will have to help him. And, you know, I guess my wish for, if we look at all the aids and credits, whether they're to individuals or to local units of government or particular geographic situations, like border credits, or whether they're pension aids or whatever they are, that we just try to be absolutely as fair as we can. And that's all in the eye of the beholder. So it's going to be really, really difficult. And I think added to that difficulty of taking things away from people is the fact that not everybody receives something equally to take it away. So even if you all agree, let's take stuff away from everyone, some people don't get anything. So you can't take anything away from them, except for county aid. It's probably the only exception because we all live in a county. So it's difficult to think of how to begin to remove parts of state government and dissemble money that's being given to these units of government when there are actually large areas of folks who aren't really receiving them. So, for example, let's say the chair decides we have to cut LGA this much. Well, all the people who don't receive LGA, those who receive it say, that's not fair. They didn't get a cut, but they don't receive it. So we have just the inherent in the problem is that the public is going to, I think, have a difficult time understanding why is it playing out that way? Because we know how complicated the system is. Good luck explaining it on the street. So people will just hear, I got this cut, or my city's LBA got cut, or Market Valley Credit got cut, or the county aid got cut. Or in trying to put it in context, we have this incredible staff to help us think through need. So if we could agree on a fair way to cut based on need, and we would all define it differently, even that's really difficult to measure. And I should just share, I had some early conversations with Ms. Dalton, because I just told her and Mr. Hines, I think they're going to be really busy trying to figure out how all of us define need. And it doesn't matter which formula we use. So we can take any one of the aids and credits that Ms. Still just went through. If we could all start them all over, the PTR program, the Market Value Credit, targeting, LGA, county aid, you pick it, and you said, you're king, Representative Mulry, design county aid. Representative Wofford, you do LGA. You know, Representative Scott, you come up with a new way to do Market Value Credit. We'd all define the need differently. And so even to get us to figure out, like, how are we going to do this based on who needs it the most, even that is going to be an incredible task. And I think Ms. Dalton and Mr. Hines are going to have a very difficult time working with all of us. And I guess my last comment would just be, you know, I was on this committee the last 2 years, and the chair and the lead were the same people. Representative Lanning and Representative Marquardt are two of the brightest, fairest people in property taxes. And they set a really good tone and tenor for how this committee did its business. And I just hope we would continue to do that, because it's going to be rough. I think we know that some of us are going to have to vote for what the product is, and some of us don't have to. Doesn't matter, everybody should contribute, and everyone should try to treat each other with respect for the process, because I think it's going to be very painful, with lots of painful testimony from everybody who's in the state of Minnesota. So, thank you
very much. And we go over here to Representative Mulry, one of our veteran members.
No thanks, Mr. Chair. I think, and I haven't gotten into detail yet, I think that we are faced in the last few years with what's become such an onerous property tax situation that I have two things happening in my district. Number one, there's a lot of people moving out of my district solely because of property tax. And number two, there's another group of people that are just, they've lost their homes because of property tax and can't even afford it in some of the suburbs around. So, especially fixed income, but I think when we start becoming so onerous that it affects people's where they can live and whether they can have a house, something has to be shifted there. I guess another thing is you're not going to accomplish everything in this committee on this issue, but it's, I'd like to try to do what we can in various committees about the fact that the state government keeps shifting more and more responsibility onto the local property tax. If you look in theories of government, everything has the number one duty of state government is public safety, and yet we're really throwing that totally onto the property tax system. Education is another thing we keep throwing more onto the property tax system. There's various others, HHS issues we're throwing onto the property tax system. Those are basically state issues. And I think as much as each committee we can take part in helping that, I think some of the formulas are really out of touch with the real needs. I think there's been, although the members that have been here a while know that there was some cleanup a few years ago, we still haven't reached reality. And another thing I'd like to see us try to figure out how to do is help the general public understanding of very basics of property tax. For instance, if, at least in my district, a very extremely low percentage of people even understand that if all of the properties go down, let's say 10%, their property tax is going to go down 10%. I mean, it's very basic, but try, you know, there's certain basics at least I think we could do something about.
Thank you very much. And from here on, we'll just start with you, Representative Conan, and go this way and around for the rest of the members, if that's okay. Representative Conan.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know we're all very aware of what's facing us, the budget forecast we'll be working off, of course, is the February forecast, and I think we're all crossing our fingers that won't be a lot worse than what we're looking at in November, but I got a feeling that we're going to see some decline there yet. It's clear that to solve the budget problem, there's going to be need to be cuts. I don't think anybody can argue that. The first thing I always like to say is that the cuts should be divided out evenly, and that when I say that, I'm talking about across the state. It's a state problem, across all income levels and across all different occupations and businesses. Now, having said that, Representative Ronchesky brings up a good point that that's not always so easy to do, and the example was LGA. Not all cities get LGA, so how do you do that? Well, my response to that would be, at least if you're looking at LGA, that it should be dealt with fairly and equally among cities that do get LGA. Market value credit, same thing. You know, there's all those areas we need to look at. I think it's real important that we include the people of Minnesota, the cities, local units of government, counties, school districts. The meetings I've had with those folks before the session started, I've asked them all to bring their ideas forward, and I think that's very important, so that it's a state problem. We have state input to the solution to the problem. I know AMC is working on a big plan, and I've only seen bits and pieces of it yet, but I think that's an example of something that we should be looking at. Their plan, of course, is the relationship between state and counties, I'm sure that cities and everybody else is working on those things too, and we need to look at those closely. School districts also, we can't forget about those. A side note, Representative Dietrich brought up green initiatives. Of course, that needs to be looked at again. There are some things that happen there that I don't like. I really think we had a pretty decent bill to start with in the House, but of course, over time it changed. But we do need to look at that again, and of course, we have to work with the Senate on that too. But I think we can, you know, work on that and straighten out some of the severe problems with that one. So,
thank you very much, Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And well, I think we all have admired the problem and know what we have to do in many ways. But I hope that one of the things that we do is we're learning about the aids and credits and this complicated list of the system we've built. I mean, it's based on trying to define that elusive fairness and respond to unique needs, but I hope we're going to look at all the components of this complicated system that's evolved and see which ones are most effective at achieving our goals, what are their roles, and because we're going to have to pick and choose amongst those what gets pulled back and what stays the same. And I think that hasn't happened for a while, I don't think, in terms of really discussing and really seeing what kind of data we have on what's more efficient in getting aid to the taxpayer or to a unit of government. And I'm hoping that we'll look at that and that we'll be honest with ourselves and with the peers and the people in the audience will be honest with us about what the impacts are. Because I think the public will really appreciate it if at the end of the session we've all along acknowledged there's going to be pain everywhere and we're upfront about it. I think there's more trust in government than when that happens than the years we've gone out and toted increases in local government aid and people still see their property taxes go up. And we knew that was going to maybe happen because of other things that were happening in the economy or in service budgets, but we don't always put that out front, and then there's less trust, I think, in what we say. And I think in terms of the direct aid to taxpayers, I think we're going to be, I'll be listening with a keener eye, ear, and to what they think they most value. Is it the refund program? Is it the credits? I mean, there aren't that many that understand it. I agree with Representative Mullery that it's a pretty complicated system, but there are people who do have a sense of it, and to get some input from them as we move forward, and hoping to assist us in putting together a package that in the end maybe none of us are going to be very comfortable with, but we can feel like we did our best.
Thank you very much. Representative Tilbury.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and as everyone has shared all this information that I agree with, it's hard to add more things to it. But the one thing I really wanted to talk about was when I saw Chair Lynchewski and Chair Markwart, the way you handled things last time around with the way you wanted to do the property tax relief package that you had, and it was the process that you came about with it more than anything else. You know, people can disagree whether that was what they wanted or didn't want. It was the process of how you came and talked about what the needs were, what you thought were reality, and then went in a direction of how we were going to solve it, all the way out to a possible website that you could click in your income and whatever on the website and determine how much money would come to you or how much you would get or whatever that process was. It just worked for me to see that, and I'm encouraged by that, even though no one could anticipate this type of difficulty coming up. I mean, we looked at last time around as this is a tough deficit, and wow, what a difference. Mm-hmm. This is not just a tough deficit, this is huge. And everyone around the nation is going to be dealing with this. And so I think if we can keep our ideas open and not be simplistic in some things, like some people would say, well, just cut spending. Or just raise taxes. It's not going to do it either way. So I just think we have to be real about it, and it's gonna force us to all work together real well.
Thank you very much. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to do whatever Representative Dietrich tells me to. I've found out that it just works better.
I have two votes. Isn't that nice?
Yes. Give me a proxy right today. It's been brought up that it's worth reinforcing is the Green Acres changes made last year. And related to that, three things: transparency, transparency, transparency. And this is my fifth year in the legislature, and one of my resolutions this year is I'm not going to vote on any pieces of legislation that are hot. And what I mean by that is we have this ritual we've gone through 4 years in a row where people go off in a room, they write a bill, they make a decision, it goes up to the copier, gets copied, they put it on your desk, and when you're going to vote on it, the pages are still hot from making the copies. And the information we have from it is a 30-minute briefing from someone who has heard something about what's in the bill, or a two-page executive summary that has come from our caucus. And we put people in a position of failure of trying to give us complete information, which is just impossible when we're ramming things through a process like that. And I don't know how many times we got to get burned by this to happen, but you know, in 2007 we had the POGI provision put in that sank the tax bill. And then last year we had this Green Acres thing come in at the last second where people didn't understand it. I was blessed in the sense that I have a very close friend of mine who works for county government who saw the language and said, Pat, do you know what this means? And I said, no, why don't you explain it to me? And I was fortunate enough that I got to vote against it. But I just want to make sure that we have that transparency, that whatever it is we come up with, whether it's fair or whatnot, we at least understand everything that's in the bill and we're given that opportunity. And that's a responsibility of not just the majority, but the minority party as well, to make sure that process takes place. And then continuing on the theme of transparency, and maybe someone will explain this to me later and I can learn about why this is so, but I've never understood why when I get a tax form, it says I've got the limited market, the homestead market value credit on there, that the state is giving my local unit of government to lower my taxes, but then we're not really giving the money to the local unit of government to pay the tax. I don't know how we get away with doing that. It would seem that if a business was doing this, people would go to jail for that. We should be transparent about it if we're not, and we're going to have to make decisions like this. If we're not giving people the market value credit, it should say that on the tax form. Maybe someone will explain to me why this is a real bad idea, but I think it's important that whatever it is we're doing, that we're being honest and transparent with taxpayers about it. So that's my thing, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And in reference to a couple of things on the market value homestead credit, we'll be talking about that when we do an overview on how that works. And it does seem kind of backwards, but it does actually come out in the end. But we'll kind of talk about that. Also, I know Chairman Chesky and myself, and I don't know for sure in which committee, we're going to have a day when we talk about the process and the timeline on the Green Acres legislation and that type of thing. And so that'll be for another day, too. So thank you very much. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a newbie here, I don't have a whole lot of specifics, but one of the things that, you know, in general, everyone's going to really have to examine what a priority is and what they can and what the essentials are. And I think one of my goals, and from what I heard from people when I was on the campaign trail, a lot of small business owners in my area, and they're very concerned about the property taxes that they pay. And it's the highest in the 5-state region. So I think we need to look at that, because if we take more burden off of the homeowners and put it onto the businesses, we're really shooting ourselves in the foot, because we're trying to get this economy to rebound, and that's not going to be happening if these businesses can't stay afloat because of overburdened property taxes. So I think we need to make these steps and take a look at what effect they're going to have down the road as well. Even though we're pinched for trying to get this deficit, you know, solved right now, we need to look at the long-term effects of any decision that we make. So.
Thank you very much, Representative Scott. This was a wrestling match. You'd be heavyweight. This is the last match, and we're down by 5 points. We need a pin, Representative Detmer. What's your solution?
Well, I've heard a couple of terms here: brutal and challenging. Well, as a wrestling coach, I guess we kind of thrive in those types of things, things being brutal and challenging. But I would have to say my first term, what I know about the property taxes is something I've learned from Karen Baker over there many times, sitting in my office trying to explain to me about some of those things and some of the bills that I presented. But I had experience a few weeks ago regarding the Green Acre issue. I was at Washington County Courthouse listening to about 300 people coming into the courthouse discussing the Green Acre issue. And I made the mistake of showing up, and I said, well, you know, I didn't read the whole bill. Well, someone right away stood up and, you haven't read the whole bill? What do we put you there for? You know, and I said, thought to myself, you know, that was a bill 296 pages long. And I was looking to make sure my veterans issues were covered in the bill, and I didn't see the Green Acre issue. So I learned my lesson is to, I think we need to really be on top of things, and when things are in these bills, that we really realize what's in them and understand them is a big thing. So, I think our committee needs to really listen to the people of Minnesota, and also listen to the people who are local governments. They might have some ideas for us that we can put into practice in developing our bills here. And I like the last comment on transparency. I think the more we can do to help people understand the whole process that we're going through is going to make a big difference.
Well, thank you very much, members. And what I'm hearing, and part of this process dealt with transparency, you know, actually rather than behind closed doors, actually. And this is fantastic. Great ideas. And I think everyone realizes we're in this together, and I think I heard a lot of common ground. I heard a number of legislators mention we need to review each budget spending area and decide what each one of those does, and look at all the movable parts and prioritize which ones. I think Representative Lanning and Representative Loeffler mentioned that. Several mentioned fairness, and that is important. I mean, what is fair? And when we talk about fair and equitable, do we mean geographically to every corner of the state, or are we talking about people, you know, seniors on fixed incomes versus millionaires? So, you know, do we treat all of them equally? So those are, I think, some of the huge questions we're going to have to answer as we move forward is, what is fair? And if you get more aid, should that mean that you share more of a burden? Like, you know, like some get LGA, some... So those are going to be some tough questions to deal with. But I think everyone is talking about the same questions. Making the property tax system more understandable. And that's it. You hear a lot about this market value. You know, the market value went down, property taxes shouldn't go down. There's kind of that disconnect between tax levies that there's And that's, you know, Representative Lanning talked about movable parts. There are so many movable parts. I mean, we've heard, and I've got districts, school districts in my area where they have a high percent of seasonal recreational area. And they say, why can't you put that back onto the excess operating referendum? And, you know, part of the whole agreement then is they got the statewide property tax. So if you were to do that, you have to go back and look at, you know, pull these levers again. So it's not quite as simple as just pulling one area out, because that messes everything else up, and that adds to our challenges, and that's why we have great staff to work through all that. Well, we have 10 minutes. We're going to end right at 2:30, but we have three more questions to go. So here's what I want, is in which ways, you know, one of the things we're going to do, and you all notice that it's no longer property tax relief division, it's just property and local sales tax. And didn't we eliminate local option sales tax? It should be property tax division, but at any rate, that's still out there. And so it's not going to be relief. You know, we're actually looking at, when we make cuts, how can we do that in a fair manner? So I guess if we're going to make cuts, and folks around the state are going to pay more in property taxes, which I firmly believe would be the result of that, how do we provide more value to the taxpayer? Just like if I buy a better car, I'm willing to pay more if I'm getting a better car. So how can we provide more value to the taxpayer? So in accountability, in efficiencies, in taking away mandates from cities or counties, how do we, I'm just going to throw that one out. And I just, if you want to just, I don't know if I need to go around the table on this for the sake of time, but we'll just kind of, Representative Garofalo.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just a brief thought is, you know, there was a great press conference today over in the governor's reception room. It was a bipartisan press conference with Representative Winkler, Senator Bonner, myself, the governor, and some others of both parties about shared services and about how by having the state provide a one-stop clearinghouse for these services instead of having 100 separate payroll departments and 100 separate kind of back office functions, we think about those sorts of things. About how we can provide those sorts of shared services, so that you know, if we're going to be providing less in terms of credits and aids and refunds, which I think, again being transparent, I think we have to acknowledge that'll be happening this session, is that at least we can provide better value for the taxpayer by consolidating services, so that we can eliminate some of the redundancy that's taking place in some of those silent back office functions that. Now, the taxpayers may not see, but they're certainly paying for. And that might be outside the purview of this committee, but that's something that's happening in the area of education where there seems to be some strong momentum, and maybe something that the local government, or I don't know if it would be the tax jurisdiction, could take a look at.
Very good. Thank you very much. Anything else on that area? Or another area is state and local relationships. You know, I know one of the big areas is this instability in aid. You know, local government aid and county program aid goes up and down with the budgets. Are there ways to stabilize that? I know that's a huge concern. You know, truth in taxation in that area, is that doing what it's supposed to do, or is that just a mandate that, I mean, we've talked about that a lot in this committee over the years. Just any ideas that you've thought, you know, if I was king for a day, here's what I would do in the representative debt.
I think the governor came out in one session or one press conference about unfunded mandates. He said he would like to see a list of unfunded mandates from the school districts or from counties or from cities, that maybe some of those could be eliminated. So.
Very good. Yeah, I remember that. Representative Dietrich.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To piggyback on that, I think that any time we can add, in very difficult times, flexibility within the local units of government's budgets, I think that that actually adds transparency and accountability to the taxpayer, because that is truly the where they see the tax dollars at work. And when the taxpayers don't understand something, they call their local unit of government and they say, now why is this the way it is in my own community? And they have to say, well, the state requires that we do it that way. They don't see that as efficient. They don't see that as commonsensical. And so I think this is one of the times that we can start looking at, is it time to add a lot more flexibility to the local units of government?
Thank you. Anything else? Representative Wofford.
Well, I think that, you know, part of the big discussion to me is also what services really need a reliable, dependable revenue source. And in the past, the most reliable revenue source, I think, was the property taxes. You tended to have high collection rates. It tended to kind of grow with inflation. Now, we've proven that you can't always count on property values going up. But, you know, our state budget has always been up and down and sideways. And, you know, it's sort of, I think we need to think about what services should people, taxpayers, be able to believe are, have rock solid sort of funding sources or stronger funding sources, and which ones, you know, to take the risk of the kind of cycles. I mean, hopefully we'll never in our lives see another cycle quite this bad. But, like, I think I heard one economist say it's worse than 25 years or something. But, you know, I think for a local government manager or elected official to try and plan out and services and maintain them, you know, they need to have some things that they can count on and then some things that they know they're just going to have to ride the waves with us on. But I think it's confusing to them in terms of being able to do long-range planning, and it's very confusing to the public because they don't understand how we've created this convoluted thing where, you know, some money comes to, and rules come from the state, and some are local choices, and some are something else. And so I think that, you know, if in reordering this, we can start to at least try and come up with some answers for that, that might help. One thing I'd like to hear about is whether or not we're starting to see collections on property taxes fall as a result of all the foreclosures mm-hmm. and unemployment and that sort of thing, because maybe it's no longer true that that is a pretty reliable funding source.
Representative Wofford, you bring up the three-legged stool of taxes, and the property tax is made of wood, and the other sales and income are cardboard. They tend to be not as solid. But members, next, is it Tuesday, Representative Lincefsi, we're the Budget Trends Committee? And so Representative Scott and Representative Detmer, that'd be a great meeting to be at. And I think we're going to hear about, I presume they're going to look at ways to make the, you know, the income and sales tax especially more stable. And I don't know for sure what we expect to hear, but I think that's going to be a very interesting meeting. And tax committee members, not to speak for Representative Lincefsi, I think that's going to be a big part of our discussion too, is how can we avoid this roller coaster ride in the budget? And a lot of it has to do with our tax system. Regardless of the revenues coming in, just it's an unstable system for the most part, except property taxes. And so, well, members, thank you very much. I very much appreciate all of your input. Look forward to working with you. And I think I will be meeting with members, and especially Representative Lanning. And, you know, some of the ideas I have is we're going to hear a lot fewer bills this year than we did the last 2 years. We're not going to keep any members if it's important, but quite frankly, we're going to really focus on kind of issue areas on the budget and to get through this. So we're probably not going to be hearing all the bills that we did before, at least not in property tax division. And I'm also thinking that it might be important if we can divide our strategy into four or five kind of major areas and divide the workload with members as we do. But we have to define kind of what that's going to be in meeting with members and then with Representative Lanning. Maybe we can do that. That's an approach maybe you'd like to. And we'll talk about that, Representative Lanning. But thank you very, very much. And any other things we need to do for the good of the order? All right. And no meeting next Wednesday because of that thing we're having. It's kumbaya, we all come together and have that meeting. Jerry, it's at the conference or whatever. Oh, yeah, forget what that is. So. All right, we are adjourned. Thank you all.